It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
One more word, young lady, and you're going to be gagged.
Thank you. Oh. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Rob. Rob, I always say, you play this when it's on when it's Friday, don't
sometimes.
You?
Sometimes.
We got Jeff Lewis standing by. We're going to get back to more with Buzz in a second here. I do want to mention, coming up at some point today, Rob's going to give us a preview of Jerry Lewis on the Serious Business of Comedy.
Oh, we love that.
It's
always
an amazing interview from 1967. It goes about an hour 10.
Oh, as Dennis Miller said to me a long time ago, Jerry, he does not think Jerry Lewis is funny when Jerry's trying to be funny.
Right.
He thinks Jerry's funny when he's trying to be serious.
Can I give you just a few names of the cuts?
Yeah, please
do. Can choose from?
Yes, please.
All comedians' requirements. All comedians are serious. Comedy requires steady hands.
Right.
Comedians versus actors. Jerry Lewis doesn't read books. Jerry Lewis on Jewish comedians wiping with orange paper.
Fantastic.
It's way off the charts.
All right, gentlemen, let's welcome from Bravo. The show is called Flipping Out, and this gentleman is Jeff Lewis. Jeff, are you there?
I'm here.
Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Jeff.
Good, thank you.
Jeff, first of all, I have to hip you to the fact that we are doing our BYOB Friday show. That's when we're allowed to be adults and have an adult beverage. And my first question to you, would you like 70% lemonade, 20% punch, and 10% Sprite? I saw that. And that's seriously what he asked one of his minions to go get him there. That was one of my special moments on your show. You're a very particular individual, Jeff Lewis.
That is an understatement.
An understatement. And I am, too, actually, when I'm running this show. And that's why, excuse me a second, Jeff. Excuse me. Could I get a green bottle in here, please?
Please.
Thank you. And bring Mr. Burbank.
A clear glass.
Jeff here and my compatriots, Buzz Burbank.
Hi, Jeff.
And Rob Spiewak right
here. How do you
here.
Do?
Hey, guys.
Jeff, how are you?
I'm good.
How's biz?
It's pretty good, actually. It's starting to pick up again.
That's good.
This particularness that Mike mentioned, that's paid off for you pretty well, hasn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
Being particular has paid off for you pretty
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. I mean, especially, yeah, it has definitely assisted me in this line of work. I mean, I think my product to the next level. I mean, I see things no one else sees.
Yeah, apparently so.
Did you, how much, when you're starting this up, obviously there are other shows out there and there are other people that do this, you know, where they try to turn around a property very quickly. And I think the difference is you're doing it on a far more significant scale. You pay more money for your properties, you put more money into them. Is that what separates you from the rest of the pack?
I think so. I mean, it's really worked for me. I've always spent a little bit more money than the next guy. Mm-hmm. I will continue to do things to make it right. If something has to be redone and redone over again, and if it costs a little more money, I do it. And in the end, it's helped because there's so many people like me out there, believe it or not, that
right.
are willing, that are perfectionists, that are willing. Quality.
Do you have another call coming in? Because we're hearing you drop out there. You want to take? Because you're a busy guy. I don't want you to miss out on a deal if you want to take that call briefly.
It's okay. The problem is that it'll probably keep ringing. I'm really sorry.
Right. You're a busy man. You've got the one. Are you on your cell phone or your hard line right now?
I'm on my hard line, but I have several lines here at the house.
You got a lot of deals working, don't you, Jeff?
Well, I have to say, I mean, the business stopped, I mean, last year for about 10 months when we had this lender crisis.
Right. When were you down to, and I know it's a lot of money to most people when you say you were down to like 125 grand in the bank, but when you're talking about buying, you know, $1 million and $1.8 million properties, that's not a lot of money to have. And I was thinking, when you go into these, do you go into these with your own cash, and do you buy the properties with cash, or do you use a lot of creative financing when you're doing this?
I mean, I try to use creative financing whenever I can, but if
okay.
something's a really good deal, then I will just pony up the 20, 30% down to, you know, to purchase that property. But yes, I use mostly my own capital. And last season, what happened was is that you know, the market crept up on me. I was holding 6 properties, and, you know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. So when I was down to, I remember that specifically.
Jesus Christ, how many people are calling you, Jeff?
And you know what's funny is that I have 3 employees here and no one's answering the phone.
Now listen, I've watched your show enough. You crack that whip and you tell them, I know we can't say the F word on here, but I know you're a liberal user of the F word.
Yes.
You whip those, what's her name? Is she still working for you, your receptionist there?
Jenny's here.
Jenny.
Doyle is here.
Tell Jenny and Doyle to do their job.
It's unbelievable. You know what? And I said to them specifically, I'm going on the air live. Mm-hmm. Take care of things. I don't want to hear barking dogs.
Right.
You know, handle clients. Pick up the phone. And then, of course, it's just ringing and ringing and ringing.
Is this
They're probably sitting down talking.
Is this why you hurt the ones you love?
I mean, it's so frustrating, right?
You know, I watched this, and I'm new to the program, but I got addicted. And Beth Ann, my producer, who I think maybe you've spoken to, has an eye for this great reality programming that's out there.
Mm-hmm,
it's not reality. It's actuality program. That's what I like to call it. You know, you what's the deal with your cat? How is your cat doing?
He's much better. In fact, we do not go to acupuncture any longer after what happened.
Yeah. You know, I think for people tuning in that have not watched Flipping Out, they are going to be fascinated by just listening to this. What it is, I just want to give everybody a synopsis.
Sure.
Flipping Out,
he
puts money into most of your properties in the L.A. area. Is that correct? Puts a lot of money into these, buys houses, renovates them in totality, does incredible renovations on them, and then flips them for, you know, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars more.
Now, Jeff, you've made your name on these big, expensive properties becoming really expensive properties. But did you start on a smaller scale? How did you begin, and what was your first flip out like?
Oh, that, you know what? It's very interesting that you bring that up, because most people think I just started in the $2 million range, and that's just not so. I mean, I started 10 years ago. The first house I purchased was in a working class neighborhood. It was $90,000. I had two families living in that house renting from me, and I went in and I redid it and I sold it for a profit of $35,000. And I'll tell you, I did not have the money to do that house, and I borrowed the money from an employer who believed in me. I mean, I did a tremendous amount of research. I had a presentation. I did all the comps, and I showed him, look, this is an incredible deal. I can easily flip this house. He lent me the money, and I did it in less than 6 months.
How much of what you do, and I have a lot of questions for you, because I want to ask you about your business partner and ask you a little bit about your love life, but I also, I noticed, I would imagine a lot of people think they can do this, but not many people can, because it's not just taking a property that's maybe a little undervalued and then renovating it. It's really knowing, I would imagine, in great detail, the real estate market that you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. I always say you become an expert in one area. You start off in one area. You know, in Los Angeles, we have probably 35 different suburbs. I mean, I originally went into an area which was called Hancock Park, and I, for the first 6 months, all I did was go to open houses, broker caravans. I knew that market inside and out. I knew what was on the market, what was pending, and what had sold in the last 12 years.
Yeah, see,
why
that's the key.
Sold.
You got to know what's going on
really
in the
do.
Market. Do you consult at all? I mean, do you do that? Or are there people that you know that it, look, I'm going to put it on a personal level, all right? I've got a 1903 Victorian that I think my appraisal went down probably like $100,000 as far as the value of the
what
house.
What percent was that?
It was, I don't know. I'm an idiot when it comes to math
Did
and stuff like that.
Did the decline in value come when you came to the neighborhood?
It actually went down when I moved
that's
in.
That's what I thought.
But I'm sitting up here, and I've got this old house, and it could use the second floor could use a complete and total renovation, but it is kind of a historic home. And I just, I'm thinking about that. I swear to God, I'd like to send you pictures of it and just say, hey, tell me what to do. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to flip it, but I probably would sell it, but I'm just trying to make it more livable. When people are, and that leads to this legitimate question, when people are remodeling a house to make it more livable, in order of value, what are the most important rooms to tackle first?
Kitchen, number one.
Number one is kitchen still?
Number one. And then number two is master suite. And what I'm noticing is people don't want to walk down the hall to go to their master bathroom, or they don't want to share a bathroom with another bedroom. So whenever you can have a specific bath that's for the master bedroom, that is really good. And then another thing I've noticed has become a huge issue is master closet.
Yes. Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too, with mine, because everything's kind of chopped up.
100 years ago, they didn't have closets.
No, they had three outfits.
It's amazing. You know, you really, when you live in a home like I do, a home that's over 100 years old, you realize how differently people live. People did not have the volume of crap that we have today.
And they were shorter.
And they were much smaller. And people
skinnier.
And closets, and they never bathed. That's
well,
the way
also, people are looking for fewer, larger, rooms because they're not having 19 kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
People are having one, two children now. So, you know, I'm often buying houses that have 5 and 6 bedrooms, and I'm combining the bedrooms and bringing the bedroom count down to 4.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. So that's the thing now? That's what people are looking for?
Oh, yeah. I'll take two. I just did it. I took 2 bedrooms, and I made a huge master suite with a humongous walk-in closet. Mm-hmm. So I have a big bathroom, a huge walk-in closet, and then a big master bedroom. And I took 2 bedrooms to do that.
Right. Ah, you're giving me some ideas. I'm very fascinated. Now, your love life, you dated your business partner.
Yes.
And now when I looked at, when I watched the show, I was kind of, you know, cluing in on where your love life fit into this. And then I see that you dated your business partner. And as you're obviously an openly gay man, and I look at some of the guys that you have working for you, and I said, you know, these look like guys that could work for you, but also on the love life front might be some prospecting there. How accurate am I with that?
I missed that last part because, again, my employees aren't picking
up
the
phone. I'm so sorry. Some of the guys you hire look like they could be potential dates for you as well. You know,
no,
they're young, good-looking guys. I didn't know whether really they were gay or straight, but they looked like they were younger guys.
I cross boundaries all the time, but
right.
That's just something I don't do.
So
I mean,
anybody working for you, you're
a sexual harassment suit.
Okay, so nobody working for you is going to be. And how does the relationship go with the business partner right
it's
now?
It's great. I mean, we've been broken up for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's my best friend now.
Good.
I can completely trust him with everything. He can make, you know, huge decisions, huge costly decisions that, you know, I mean, when you're dealing with money, I mean, you've got to make sure you trust someone implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably the only person that I completely trusted with my money, with my business. And since we decided to partner up, you know, the business has exploded. And
okay, so
it
is exploding
for me.
All right, see, I watched, I guess I was watching a clip where you were down to it, but now things have bounced back and the business is doing very well.
Yes. I mean, I have to say, if we were talking 8 months ago, I'd probably have a different outlook.
Right.
But it's picking up. I see people out. Well, what's happened is the lenders, you know, they're loosening up their restrictions. I'm seeing more programs available to buyers. And you know, and another thing, too, is that the market's gone down in Los Angeles, you know, on the average of 20%. Well, we've got a lot of money here. So there's people, wealthy, wealthy people,
right,
picking up properties and renting them.
Okay. Can you take a couple of calls here, Jeff? We got a couple
absolutely
of people want to talk to you. Let me lock you in on the line here. Mm-hmm. And I want to also ask you, you say you have, and I like this about your show, you say you have no setups, and I'm inclined to believe that on
mm-hmm
your show. It does have
a
very authentic feel to it. Mm-hmm. You didn't seem like you have a lot of setups on your show.
Well, you know what? I mean, for example, you know, Chris and Jenny are now in the process of getting a divorce, which we found out last episode.
Just for people that don't know, Chris is his receptionist, kind of his gal
Chris
Friday.
Chris was my trash guy. Then he became
Chris was your trash guy, and Jenny is the receptionist, right?
She's my executive assistant.
I'm so sorry, receptionist. Yeah. Come on. All right. I know. And you're very nice. You get her a massage and you do all that crap. I mean, all right, that's fine. Yes, Buzz, you had a question for Jeff.
Jeff, do you think it's your attention to detail that's given you the profit margins that you've been able to make on many of these houses? Do you think that's the attention to detail is a big secret to that?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I'm extremely organized. I do all the due diligence.
Right.
And, you know, we mentioned before earlier in this conversation, that is the number one. It's, you know, anybody with some design sense can remodel a house.
Right.
The problem is you have to buy the house right, number one. And I usually make, the day I close, I always buy under market. So the day that I close escrow on a house, I make $50,000, you know, sometimes $150,000
exactly
a day I close escrow.
Is that, what is your max? What's the most you've ever made on a house?
Ryan and I have made $1 million on a house, but then we've split it, you know, so it's 50-50, so
right,
it's $500,000 each.
And
we've done that a few times, so we've had a few good hits.
That's
amazing.
Have you
ever lost money on a house?
Yes, I recently lost money on a house.
Mm.
And that was, you know, and it's actually, I just got a book deal about 3 weeks ago, and my book will be on the shelves next year.
Wow. Yes, there's a little plug. What's it going to be called?
I talk about, you know, this was a situation where I bought a house in the old market. It was 20% higher. I could not rent it for anywhere near what my overhead was on the house. I chose to let it go and lose money. I lost almost $200,000. But rather than be depressed, and what I decided to do is I thought of creative ways to make that money back. So I immediately took the money out of that house. I put it into a fiveplex. The appreciation, the long-term appreciation on the fiveplex, is going to make up for the short-term loss I took on that single family.
Good man. I tell you, I wish I was as smart as you were. I'd probably have more money right
when
now.
When you lost that $200,000, did your partner also get to split that with you?
That was, of course, one of the houses I bought on my own.
Oh, that's terrible. All right, we're going to take two quick questions for you, Jeff, then let you go here. Let me put on Nathan from Wichita, Kansas. Nathan, you're on with Jeff Lewis of Flipping Out on Bravo.
Jeff, big fan of your show. Hey, I love the episode where you you were going so crazy because you couldn't figure out what the employees were doing. You went and bought a security camera and put it out.
That's another part of this show that's very, very good.
Yeah, the best thing I ever did.
The other thing is, you guys, I don't know if you've seen pictures of his assistant, Jenny.
Yeah, I've seen Jenny.
Yes.
Smoking hot.
Yeah, she's got a very interesting look. She reminds me of
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus combined with Annie Potts when she was in Ghostbusters as the reception.
It's so funny, guys, because she's constantly telling him, God, he needs help. God, he needs help.
That's right. Nathan, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Tom in Washington, D.C. I know what Tom's going to ask, and it's going to be funny. And let's go ahead, Tom. Let me have it.
Jeff, I was just wondering, you know, primarily it's on residential, and I didn't know if you've ever looked into commercial real estate. And if so, I know of a great Irish pub that could use flipping in Manassas, Virginia.
Okay, Jeff, let me explain. You're out in Los Angeles. I'm going to hang up on you now, Tom. Thank you very much. Jeff, you see, I had a failed restaurant that is sitting there right now waiting for a buyer. So that's what he was referring to.
It had too many bedrooms.
One more question for Jeff Lewis, and then we'll have too many bedrooms. Thank you, Rob. Let's go to Becca, Germantown, Maryland. Becca, you're on with Jeff Lewis.
Hey, Jeff. I'm so glad that you guys have the show back on. I'm actually going to say the exact same thing that Nathan said, that so justifiable to putting in the nanny cam.
The nanny cam. Can you hear her, Jeff?
Yes. I didn't hear the question, though.
I guess she was just talking about...
It's just justifiable that you put it in.
Thank you. You know, I got a lot of criticism in episode 3 when I installed it.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of criticism on the blogs from critics in a lot of periodicals. And what was interesting is that after 4, when I busted Chris Elwood, no one said a word.
You're a good man, Jeff Lewis.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, I was taking a big drink of beer right there because it is BYOB Friday. Hey, the show is flipping out. When the hell is it on? I have it written down here.
It's Tuesdays at 10 o'clock on Bravo.
Tuesdays, 10 o'clock on Bravo. Fascinating if you have a house that you want to sell, even though he's doing this as his business.
You'll learn a lot.
You'll learn a lot even if you're trying to sell your own house on that. And it's also an incredible soap opera with everything that's going on because you never know which direction this guy's going to go.
It's not just real estate. It's spying.
I am also surprised there are not more fist fights on your show, Jeff. I really am with everybody bumping into each other, but it's a great show, and come back and join us sometime, okay?
Thanks very much, guys.
That's Jeff Lewis. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
There he goes. That's a good show. I really enjoy that show. Now, without further ado, let's get right to
it
before we have to break for commercials. Back to our second segment with Buzz Perfect.
Well, Mike, before we get back to the sex news, we left off in the operating room, and while we're there, it's hard not to notice the woman who just had 140 pounds of tumor removed from her body.
Oh, that is so dumb. Hey, where the hell is CK? You know, hold on a second.
Speaking of tumors.
Let me stop that. You know, I realize
speaking of useless growth.
Bethann, you know, I know that we kind of, don't I say we kind of start things at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, kind of.
We kind of. Is it that casual or what? I mean,
I think 4:30 is what he was expecting.
No. What time do we have guests in on BYOB? You know this. What time
do we
have?
4 o'clock. I'm sorry, you caught me kissing ass.
You would be different if you were participating.
I would, yeah.
You would care about
that
fact.
Very,
you know
very
remember,
different.
Remember
do you
how
know
I used
why
to
you
be
would care about that fact?
Remember how I used to be fun?
Hey, look who's
here.
Here
he is. Let's bring him in.
Hey, pain in the
he
ass.
He should have been here right at 4 o'clock, and you should have gotten him.
Take this.
Sit over there. I'm more comfortable with you over there.
Join us here.
Please. CK, the program director.
And can an intern bring the boss a beer, please?
Yes, bring. Yes. Have the interns regularly bring drinks.
Pardon
me? They're good for
what
something.
What did you say?
I don't know, for Christ's sake.
And if the babes are here, we can
swear to God.
Send them in.
You know, I kind of feel, I feel just like Jeff Lewis. If I don't do it myself, nothing gets done. It's just amazing, really. And how many times does the phone have to ring, Bethany? Really,
and what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see?
I totally relate to that guy. I really, really relate to that guy.
You look like him.
No, I really relate to him because he's always like running around trying to, you know, prop everybody up.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the way I feel sometimes.
Ouch.
I know you do plenty of work. I've never said that you didn't do work.
It's a joke.
All right. Give him a Bex. Okay. Give CK a Bex beer. And that's right, Drew. Just come in and just hand it, because he's got a 15-foot effing arm. No problem at all. I'm sorry. hate to snap at the interns, but I
no,
have to.
And
don't.
In front of company, no less.
And I guess, look, I'm and Peter, I'm ready for another one, too.
Yeah.
Drew, bring in a beer for Mr. O'Mara.
Sorry. I'm ready for another one as well.
Very,
good
very.
Heavens,
just
quick.
Thank you. CK, program director here in Washington, D.C., those of you around the country, he's Chris Kynard. He's our program director. Thank you very much, Drew. And welcome to BYOB Friday.
Mike,
welcome.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
As the supervisor, we have to get a couple of ground rules straight here, all right? Nothing you do, I say, or we do collectively should in any way impact our jobs at this radio station today.
Well, we won't remember it, so it'll be okay.
Very good. Very good.
Or absolutely. Our relationship.
Oh, my God. We got to go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm screwing you out of time again, Buzz. What do you have?
We have the woman with the 140-pound tumor.
So where were we?
Did you want to see a picture of that?
Yes, I do.
Of course he does.
I think
yes.
We're going to put this online at MikeOMaraShow.com, aren't
please.
We,
Ross? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's the 140-pound
tumor. Oh, my God!
Tumor.
Oh, God, that is gross.
It's just a tumor.
That look is at the way so the doctor's felt. Hugging it, though. That's what troubled me.
You have to. It'll slip away.
Oh, God,
Jesus.
I hate a slippery tumor.
Mother of God.
Show Chris. It's a nice picture.
Oh, no.
All right.
That was taken out of her.
Yeah, yeah, it was. There it is. Show Chris.
And I'm sure it was down in, like, vagine territory,
he's
right?
He's also gasping.
Oh, my God.
That is so nasty.
Where did it come out of? What area of the body?
Hey, now.
They had to have...
Sorry.
You know,
is that a bad question?
They weren't specific, but they actually had to perform 3 surgeries just to get out that mess of goo that you just saw.
Get ready for a million hits at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah, it's an amazing photo.
And it's not like she didn't get medical attention before. She went to a doctor before who found no tumor, and now surgeons have removed 140 pounds worth out there.
What drew me to that story is...
Spear was tasting so good up until that point.
What drew her to the doctor is she wanted to lose weight.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
Did she go on Physician's Weight Loss?
Hey.
All right.
So now are we...
One more quickie.
One more out of sex news then.
Okay.
Let's make it this one.
All right.
July 31st is a day for celebrating the moment that poets spend entire lifetimes trying to describe... It's that moment of bliss at the pinnacle of lovemaking. You know the word.
I know it.
Which is good because I'm
begins
not, allowed
with
to,
an O.
Not allowed to say it.
Yeah, I know what it is. Ends with an M.
It's National That Word Day in
ends
England.
Ends with an ASM.
In England.
Hello. Welcome to National. Here we are. I'm Amy Winehouse.
Oh, perhaps you were the queen.
I had one just a minute ago.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to have to get someone to come in and clean up.
Did the tumor fall out?
Tumor's gone there, bub.
Well, Amy, in your home country, it's National That Word Day in England on the 31st of this month. Now, Brits can say the word on the radio because it's a freedom they fought for.
That sucks.
No, wait a minute. That was us. Well, anyway.
Yeah, we fought for it. We can't say it on the radio.
If you missed National That Word Day here in the U.S. on May 15th, you can try your hand at it on July 31st with the Brits. These stories and more and pictures at MikeOMaraShow.com. Coming up with a Hollywood buzz, Barry Manilow is not dying.
Thank God.
And in the final buzz, the attack of the killer tomatoes comes to a tomato-y end.
Very good.
I'm Buzz Burbank of the Mike O'Mara Show.
When we come back, we're going to have a visit from another movie reviewer. Yes, we have another movie reviewer on the show.
Really?
However, he will only be reviewing one particular film.
Is it the hottest movie of the weekend?
In his mind, it is.
Really?
Yes. His mind is very small compared to some of ours.
Look forward to that.
And we will also talk Hollywood stuff and lots more fun and more thrills. And also, are any of your bevy of... harem girls here yet?
Let me run down to the harem and check.
Maybe meet some buzz babes when we come back. More fun and more thrills right after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.